Today we have our second part that is delivered to us by I say Mr. or Pastor? Pastor. Pastor Albert Lee. He's from Emmaus EFC for those who are not familiar. So he's bringing us the passage from Judges 10 titled Peace, Prosperity, and then what? That's the title, not me. Pastor Albert, please.
Good morning. If you do not know, we have been studying through the book of Judges together for 2 years or 3 years. And we are getting it through the book of Judges. There are 12 judges in the book of Judges. They are Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Hola, Jay, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, and Samson. 12 of them in the book of Judges. They are primarily military leaders and rulers. They judge Israel after Joshua's conquest of Canaan, until the formation of the kingdom of Israel. In 1 Samuel, both Eli and Samuel were also mentioned as judges, but we will not look at him. It started well with Othniel, Ehud, and Deborah. It started to go downhill with Gideon, Jephthah, and Samson. We have not looked at Jephthah and Samson, so I guess that will come next year. And at the end of this book of Judges, we have two extremely disturbing stories to show the lawlessness of the people. We will look at that also next year if we have time. It's about Micah and the Levite. And after that, we have about two or three more chapters where describes the condition of those people. Last week we did we look at it and then we look at Abimelech, who we know is not the judge, and his 3 years rule of Israel was the worst of time for Israel. So today we're going to pick up from Judges chapter 10. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us as we go through the characters in the book of Judges that you may let us see a little bit of ourselves in that's like those people. Thank you for our strength, but we pray that you will help us with our weaknesses. We pray this in Jesus' name. Now, in Judges chapter 10, verse 1 to 2, we read, after Abimelech, there arose to save Israel Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in the mountains of Ephraim. He judged Israel 23 years, and he died and was buried in Shamir. Very specifically, it is mentioned that his father's name was Puah, and he dwelt in Shamir. These are the two names of Issachar's son. So it tells me straight away when you study the Bible that you are now being directed in the direction of realizing that the emphasis is that Tola was a man of Issachar. So if you are studying the Bible, you have to look at what, who are these people? The men of Issachar. Now, in the Bible, Issachar was mentioned 41 times. And as you look at some verses, it gives you a profile of the tribe. For example, in Genesis 49, verse 14 to 15. Genesis 49. The reason why I repeat verses is because it gives you time to look at it. Okay? So if you look at my face, it's not there, and I don't use PowerPoint. So Genesis 49, verse 14 to 15, we read, Issachar is a strong donkey, crouching between the sheepfold. He saw that the resting place was good and that land was pleasant, so he bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant of at forced labor. Interesting verses, isn't it? This was said by Jacob, who is Issachar's father. In Numbers 26 census, Issachar was the third largest tribe. And with signs and abundance of a good land, they did not strive. I'm giving you the short version, okay? They have numbers, and they are given a very fruitful land with size and with abundance. They did not strive. And as a result of it, they became the target of foreign forces that put them under servitude. We know of countries that have more than Singapore, right? More people, and the land is fertile, with all sort of things. But they did not strive. And one of these days, they may come put under servitude of IMF. In 1720 BC, the territory of Issachar was conquered by the Assyrians. And after that, all reference to this tribe ceased. It's as if they dropped out on the face of this earth. Today, in China, it is said that young people have this mentality, Tang Ping. Heard of it? You are really out of touch. I know because, you know, my son keep me informed. Which basically means lying flat. Lying flat is the idea of not overworking. These young people don't want to overwork like their parents and have no life. Yet, when such young people are challenged and their hearts are touched, they can do so much. I am in charge of a cafe business located in Xiamen. This is a business as a mission entity. And we have two such young people working very hard. Remember Issachar? Under the leadership of Deborah, what were they known as? They were known as mighty warriors, fighting in the fiercest of area. What else do we know about Issachar? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 32, we know this. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. To know what this verse is saying, you know, you can come to this verse and say, oh, understanding of the time, and then you start to think, what does it mean to be understanding of the time? Or you can allow the Bible to interpret it. So to understand this verse, we need to look at the context of this verse. And the context is found earlier in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13 to 14, where we read, Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death, turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. When the king died, recently the queen died, but you know, today king and queen is not like in those days. In those days, king and queen are sovereign. They rule. So in the days when the king died, Saul died, there will certainly be crisis, danger, because there will be people fighting for power. So when the king dies, what did the men of Issachar do? They understood what they ought to do. And what did they do? They supported David as king. So the men of Issachar potentially could be people of mighty warrior, but they, because of their condition, because they have plenty and abundance land, they have a tendency not to strive. But they are not unintelligent people. They could understand them if they are helped in the right way. On Tuesday morning, 9/11, in the USA, which was night in Singapore, I was packing my bags for my flight to the US. Then on television, if you live long enough, what did we see? Two planes crashing into the upper floors of the North and South Tower of World Trade Center. One, and then later, another. Many months later, many months later, finally, I was able to travel to Grand Rapids, Michigan, USA. Mark Dehan, the president of ODB then, asked me my thoughts about the 9/11 crisis. I told him, this incident will cause thinking Muslims to question their religion of peace. If we understand what God is doing, we will do certain things. What will the Christians do? We have to be very careful when we use the word Christian now after what George has just said. You know, in my time, we say Christian basically means Christ, I am nothing. I am Christ. I am nothing. If the people who really believe in God in the USA understand what God is doing, they will not be on the revenge mode. They will do more to bring the good news to these people. And indeed, some of them have done that. And indeed, the world have done that also. And in the last 20 years, amazing amount of testimonies of how these people group individually have come to know Christ. We do not know exactly what Tola did, but he did step into a very chaotic world created by Abimelech. And he saved Israel. Basically, if you read the verse properly, it is said that he saved and judged Israel. He brought peace after those terrible years of Abimelech. And the reason why I want to say that he saved and judged Israel is because when we look at the other four judges, they did judge. But there's no mention that they say. Go and look at it. These are small, small things in the Bible that you observe and you realize that the Bible is trying to tell us something. But of Tola, he saved and he judged Israel. So we have to look at him, Tola. He brought peace after a terrible time to Israel. Then in Judges chapter 10, verse 35, Judges chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, we read, After him arose J.A. Gidak, and he judged Israel 22 years. Now he had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys. They also had 30 towns, which is called Havoth Jair to this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Hamon. After Tola started to rule on the west side of the Jordan River, J.A. start to rule on the east side of Jordan River. So it's not that they are one after, but he started, and then he also started on both sides of the Jordan River. This shows us by now that Israel was a very fragmented nation. Now we read that he had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys, and they control 30 towns. So let's talk about donkeys, shall we? Now we're going to have donkey talks. Those of us who use this phrase, as stubborn as a donkey, do not know the nature of donkeys. Trust me, I did my research, and I went to someone who handles donkey, and he says, donkeys are not stubborn. We just don't understand their nature, so we call them stubborn. Like many parents who don't understand their children and call them stupid. Unlike horses, donkeys are not flat animals. When frightened, horses will bolt, but donkeys will steady themselves. You know this? That's why when you are carrying things over mountain trails, you don't use horses. You use donkeys. Because if you use horses to carry things across mountain trails, likely they'll break their legs. And you know, once the horse breaks their legs, that's it. You use donkeys to carry things across mountain trails. Why? Why? Because donkeys have a keen sense of preservation. And if they don't trust their handlers, they won't move. Don't believe me? Ask Google. In the Bible, we have two well-known stories about donkeys. Huh? Testing time, okay? One in the Old Testament, very famous. The other one in the New Testament, okay? In the Old Testament, what was the story? It's about whose donkey? Yes. Balaam's, right? Balaam's donkey. Sensing danger, the donkey, even though threatened, will not move. Remember? Now, in the New Testament, we have a very famous story about a donkey. Can you remember which donkey? This is the Christmas season, so you should remember. What did Jesus Christ say to the disciples to do? Go and get for me a young donkey, a foal, and bring it to me. And what did the donkey do? The donkey carried Jesus into Jerusalem. Remember? All of you look at me, my goodness. Am I reading a different Bible from you? You see, even an untrained donkey, not broken donkey, trusted Jesus and could carry Jesus into Jerusalem. How about us? If you can't trust Jesus, then you may be worse than a donkey. You see, for J.A. to control 30 cities and give each of his sons donkeys to ride on, you know what does it tells us? That he is a very wealthy man. You see, to have donkeys in those days is likened to have logistic business today. A man of great wealth ruled Israel, J.A., for 22 years. He did not save Israel. He just ruled over Israel. So through Tola and through JA, peace and prosperity were returned to Israel. That's what those Bible passage tells us. You read this, you run through it, you don't know what is it trying to say. It just tells you to this man, Tola and JA, peace and prosperity was returned to Israel after the terrible time of Abimelech. Now, we live in a peaceful and prosperous Singapore, right? What should we be? We should be thankful. It amazes me that many Singaporeans are not thankful. They still have so much to be unthankful for. Now, we Christians are thankful. I hope so. Even though we don't live in a peaceful and a prosperous society like Singapore, we have to be thankful because 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. So if you want to know what's God's will for your life, here is one verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. How more explicit can it be? So we should be thankful. But more than that, we should ask ourselves, why am I placed in Singapore and not in Myanmar? Have you ever asked the question, God, if you are sovereign, in control of every situation in my life, why you put me in Singapore? Why you put someone else in Myanmar? We must ask this question, why am I put in Singapore, in this peaceful and prosperous country? You know, it is increasingly more and more evident that Singapore is not the general, it is the unique, isn't it? You look north, you look south, you look west. Singapore is a very special country. No, I'm not, I don't belong in PAP. You know, I don't belong in 20 political. But we had to ask ourselves, why are we placed in Singapore? How should we live our lives? Paul says this, very interesting verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23-24, Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23-24, he said, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things built up. It means there's a lot of things we could do. That's what it means. Lawful means it can do it. A lot of things we Singaporeans can do. But not all things we do are helpful. Neither will they build up. That's what it means. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. You know, Singaporeans, we can do so many things. You realize it? Even with the little that we have, we can do so much. Even a small congregation like yours and mine, we could do so much. You could greatly bless people in Cambodia or in Bangladesh with the little you have. In years, a small church, yet we support the entire Akka ministry in Sisuan Pana, Yunnan, bringing the gospel to 57 countries now, out of 500. Last time I was here, I told you 50. I just checked with them, they have brought it to 57 villages. Then we continue to read 1 Corinthians 10, 31 to 32. We read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 to 32. Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Singaporean believers living in a peaceful and prosperous Singapore, we can obey the Lord to do many good works so that people may give glory to our Father who is in heaven. We can. We can if we do not seek our own good, but for the good of others. Why? That they may be saved. You see, when people live for themselves, and that's the trouble with living in a peaceful and a prosperous country, you think that you are all deserving, and therefore now, hip hip hooray, time to live for yourself. And you know, in a peaceful and prosperous country, there's so many things that demands your attention and your money, right? You walk through shopping complex, suddenly you say, I need this when previously you didn't need it. I was just given by my sister 3 huge bags, big, this is not small bags, big bags, of very good T-shirt. I took one out. It's called Polo. And the price tag is still on it. $90. And one post tag. And the reason why I was given is because my sister's friend, husband, got sick and lost weight. That's all. From my size, he went to John's size. And he was storing all these polo t-shirts and doctor's pants and all these well-branded ones, not those that I buy from the Thailand outlet mall and so forth. I was giving it. And I look at him. Wow. Indeed, the texture is very nice. You know, living in a peaceful and prosperous country, the temptation is to live for ourselves. We got so much. Right? I'm still looking for my, sorry, and now there's no more $2 meal. Now I'm trying to look for my $3 meal every lunchtime. But many people think nothing to just spend $30 for their lunch. So I can eat 10 times, no wonder I'm 10 times their size. You see, there's a tendency to live for ourselves. And when we live for ourselves, we should not be surprised by what we read in verse chapter 10 of Judges, verse 6 to 10. Then the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of God, served the Baals and the Ashtoreth, the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the people of Ammon, and the gods of Philistines. And they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. So the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He sold them to the hands of the Philistines, into the hands of the people of Ammon. And from that year, they harassed and oppressed the children of Israel for 18 years. All the children of Israel who were on the other side of Jordan in the land of Amorites, in Gilead. Moreover, the people of Ammon crossed over the Jordan to fight against Judah, also against Benjamin, against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was severely distressed. And then, in verse 10, the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, we have sinned against you, because we have both forsaken our God and served him. You see, when we start to think of ourselves is a pure indication that we have forgotten God. Because if you remember God, the first thing that will happen, you will think of others before yourself, right? You look upward, and then because you look upward, you look outward, and then you look inward. So if you live for yourself, it's just an indication that you're forgotten God. Because God never asked us to live for ourselves. He asked us to live for Him and for His purposes. And one of His purposes is that no one should perish. Seven gods mentioned here indicates completeness. The Israelites are now in full-blown rebellion against God. They have seen the greatness of God, yet they abandon Him. How can this happen? It happens because fallen human natures are always inclined towards immediate gratification and personal satisfaction. And the Canaanites' gods will give them what they want. If you want to have abundant crops, sleep with the temple prostitute. Not bad, huh? It's a religious thing. The Canaanites' gods always offer quick fixes. What we say, immediate pleasure, long-term regret. But following other gods will always end in disaster. So we see now that the enemies were attacking them from two fronts. And soon they became slaves to their enemies. And in verse 10, we read, "Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord, 'We have sinned against you, forsaking our God and serving the Baals.' And the Lord said in verse 11 to 14, He said, 'When the Egyptians, when the Amorites and the Ammonites, the Philistines and the Sidonians and the Amalekites and the Maonites oppressed you and you cried to me for help, did I not save you from their hands? But you have forsaken me, served other gods, so I will no longer save you. Go and cry to the gods you have chosen. Let them save you when you are in trouble.'" Can you sense God being so totally fed up? "Yeah, I've been saving you again and again. Why you ask me for help now? Go and ask the gods." Well, look at the reaction of the children of Israel in verse 15 to 18. The children of Israel said to God, "We have sinned. Do to us whatever seems best to you. Only deliver us this day, we pray." So they put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord. And His soul could no longer endure the misery of Israel. Then the people of Ammon gathered together and encamped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled together and encamped in Mizpah. The people cry out to God. This time they did one more thing. They removed their gods. A big improvement, right? But notice what happened in verse 18. The people, the leaders of Gilead, said to one another, "Who is the man who will begin the fight against the people of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." When you put all these verses together, it tells us a very interesting scenario. The people cry out to God for help. Then they remove the idols, but they still want to retain control. Right? You catch the idea then? They still want to retain control. See, after asking God for help, instead of waiting on God, they went ahead to select the men to fight for them. Doesn't it sound a bit like us? "God, please help me." Then, what do we do? We wait upon Him? Or we just go ahead and do what we think should be done. You see, there's a huge difference between regret and repent. If you cannot remember anything, please understand there's a huge difference between regret and repent. Regret is to be sorry for what I have done, right? Regret, I'm sorry for what I did. What is repent? Repent is to be sorry for what I have done and I was wrong to do it. A chaplain was speaking to a prisoner in jail. Say, I hope you have repented of stealing and will not make the same mistake. The prisoner replied, yes, I will not make the same mistake. Next time, I will use a glove. You hear the difference between regret and repent? For the prisoner, it's not that he stole, it's that he got caught. That's all. We regret. Many people regret. Why? Because they hope to return those good things into their lives. Right? We regret because we lost those good things. And we hope that our regret will bring about a situation where we can return those good things into our lives. Husband cheat on his wife, got caught. Husband regret. Why? Because he just lost the care and love of his wife. And so by hope saying, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, he hoped to return the good things into his life. So that's regret. We regret because we hope for the return of those good things to our lives. We repent because we hope for the return of that good fellowship with God. It is not things. It is that fellowship with God that we want. But many people, unfortunately, remain self-interested. Many Christians remain self-interested rather than God-interested. They want God because they love themselves. You hear that? They want God because they love themselves. God will give me this, 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 this. I love God because I love myself. Instead of wanting God because they love Him. Ask yourself the question. You love God because you love yourself, or you love God because you want to love Him? Well, after Paula and Jay, the next judge is Jephthah. We will not look at him because he's going to be taking a lot of time. It's a very interesting story. You go back and read it. Next year, I come back, if I come back, if I'm still alive, if I'm still invited. I'm not like one of the, John and me, we are not like one of those rockets that goes up. And once in a while, we drop some booster. You know, we are friends for life and sorry for better or for worse, mostly worse. Now, I want to just briefly look at three more judges. Cover all of them. Three minor judges. So we jump on to Judges chapter 12, verse 8. And I want to look at Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon. I just feel not right for us to just skip. So I just look at it. Judges chapter 12, verse 8. After him, after Jephthah, Ibzan of Bethlehem led Israel. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. He gave his daughters away in marriage to those outside his clan. And for his sons, he brought in 30 young women as wives from outside his clan. Ibzan led Israel 7 years. He died and was buried in Bethlehem. Just quickly, Ibzan's way of judging was through inter-clan marriage. not inter-country, that means not foreigners, but just within the whole nation of Israel. Today, we know this as strategic alliance. But strategic alliance strengthens immediately, but it's not strong long-term because it lacks true unity. But yet, some people do use strategic alliance so that they could judge. Then we look at verse 11, a very famous name because of another person, not this person. In chapter 12, verse 11, we read, after him, Elon the Zebulunite led Israel 10 years. Then Elon died and was buried in Ajalon in the land of Zebulun. Elon, what can we know about him? He lived, he died, he was buried. That's all we are told, no? So what it seems to me is that he kept the status quo. That's all. He lived, he died, he got buried. He just kept the status quo. But what is very comforting to me is this, that even the person who keeps the status quo, God uses. He judged Israel for 10 years. One last person, quickly. Verse 13 to 15 of chapter 12. After him, Abdon, son of Hilliah, from Piraton, led Israel. He had 40 sons, 30 grandsons, who rode on 70 donkeys. He led Israel 8 years. Then Abdon, son of Hilliah, died and was buried in Piraton in Ephraim, in the hill country of the Amalekites. Wow. An even richer man. Not only did his son rode on donkey, but his grandsons rode on donkey throughout the land. It seems to me that Abdon stayed in touch with what is happening in the grassroots. And in this way, he judged and led Israel for 8 years. So we have looked at these five minor judges. The first one was Shabgar, which we looked at in chapter 3, I think, or 4. Every judge is different. Deborah, I consider the best. Samson, which we have not looked at, I consider the worst. When we look at Samson together, we may have to do 2 sessions on him, because much is said about him. So I gather that God uses good leaders and even flawed ones. Isn't that so comforting to you? Now, I was looking at the songs that's been sung. Some of them are new to me. I look at the words. And I'm comforted to know that I'm also flawed. I oftentimes say, if not by the mercy of God, there go I. I see some of my friends doing certain things that they ought not to do. What do I say? Look at me. How good I am. Look at you, so bad. No. Oftentimes I say, there, if not by the mercy of God, there go I. If not for the mercy of God, I will also be disqualified. That's why Paul says, I keep my body under subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. So I pray for myself. And you pray for yourself. For whatever remaining years God has given to you, that you could be used by God, flawed or not flawed. Living in a peaceful and prosperous Singapore, what do we need to remind ourselves? We need to remind ourselves that our life is very temporary. Very temporary. Sorry, to the song leaders here, that when you sing, I cannot stand with you. Because, you know, 12 years ago, I had a major surgery on my back. The doctors fused for me 3 sections on my back. My only Thanksgiving, Lord, is that I may have stiff back, but I don't have stiff neck. My life is very temporary. How many more years? Walk also can't walk straight. Right? When I reach a place, the first place I look for is toilet. It's very temporary. So if you and I understand that, yes, we are living in a very peaceful and prosperous Singapore, there's so much things we can do, right? Huh? You want to do this, you can do. You want to do that, you can do. You know, we can do so many things, right? We can travel anywhere we want to do. You know, this morning, my neighbor called me, Albert, you want to earn some money or not? I said, why? I'm going to Seoul. Can you give me a lift at 5:30? I said, don't need to give money. At 4 a.m., I'm awake already. I'm studying the Bible. So, okay, 5:30, I'll bring you to the airport. And he told me on the way to the airport, this is a last-minute decision. I said, what do you mean last-minute decision? He said, 1 week ago, my son said, we are going to Seoul. Quickly go in. Book your ticket. This is Singapore, no? Huh? This is really Singapore, no? 1 week before, yeah, we... What? We got the resources, we got the ability, just get up and go. So this is a last-minute decision. Only we Singaporeans can do that, no? We live in a peaceful and a prosperous country. One we can get. For us, it's not a matter whether we can get. It's how many more we can get. We're always looking for better things. But do we realize our life is very temporary? And if your life and my life is very temporary, what must we do? This is what I will do. I don't know what you will do. Firstly, I will live for eternity. And one of the things that I will want to do is that I will exchange my temporal life for the eternal life of people when they know Jesus as Savior. That's what we should do. So we have looked at 5 judges, minor judges. In a very difficult time in Israel, they judge, they save, only one save. They brought back peace and prosperity to Israel for time and season. What will we do? What will we do living in a peaceful and simple Singapore? Peaceful and prosperous Singapore. Live for ourselves. Continue to be self-interested. Or be interested in what God is interested in. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. It always reminds us there is more than life in this world. We are so thankful. We are so thankful that we are yours. You love us. You save us. You make us your children. And actually, honestly speaking, dear Father, we are so thankful that we are living in Singapore. But even the little bit that we have, we can do so much. Thank you, dear Father. We should be very thankful to you. Now, as thankful people, we pray, help us to use whatever you have given to us for your glory. In Jesus' name.